A good laugh and a long sleep are the best cures in the doctor's book. Irish proverb.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Welcome and thanks for listening to the Essential Oil Revolution. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright. And today's episode, we are going to be diving into the topic of sleep, specifically for kids and small babies. So if you are a parent or you know a parent who might be struggling with getting good sleep in their home, this episode is for you. Before we get to today's interview, allow me to share my favorite oil of the week. I've been doing a lot of cooking this past week for our recent Thanksgiving holiday break over here, and I had so much fun cooking with all my essential oils. So I just wanted to highlight some of the ways that I was cooking with my oils for Thanksgiving. I made a delicious cranberry sauce that I seasoned with some lemon essential oil and some orange essential oil, and it was absolutely delicious. I also made a macaroni and cheese where I used nutmeg oil in the cheese sauce that was phenomenal. And then I also made a spiced red mulled wine that I put a little bit of cinnamon and orange oil in as well. It was so much fun, and I think people don't realize just how easy it is to incorporate essential oils into their cooking. So anywhere that you feel like you could use a little extra flavor, try adding some essential oils to your mix. Now let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. And today's DIY dugout recipe is our winner from the contest giveaway we've been doing for the past 2 months here. So congratulations to our winner of our swag giveaway, Alex McLaughlin. You are receiving a no longer in print exclusive Essential Oil Revolution podcast t-shirt, as well as a diffuser necklace and a travel essential oil case. Thank you so much to everyone who submitted a recipe into our contest, and congratulations again to Alex McLaughlin. She is from getoiling.com/radicalwellbeings, and her recipe is called the Pumpkin Spiced Coffee. To make the Pumpkin Spiced Coffee in an empty bottle, make this synergy: 4 drops cinnamon bark vitality, 1 part clove vitality, 1 part nutmeg vitality. Swirl in a bottle and then prep your coffee, and then put 1 to 4 drops of this synergy in your coffee grounds. Mix around, separating any clumps of the oil, then proceed making your coffee as usual. Add creamer or sweetener as desire. Thank you, Alex, for your recipe. Again, her website is getoiling.com/radicalwellbeings. You can submit your recipe to our dugout by emailing DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com. Our swag giveaway is over, but we still pull a winner every month to receive a prize of an orange essential oil bottle and our ebook full of DIY recipes.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
I am here with Anna Steger, who is a mom of four and a certified gentle sleep coach. She's an entrepreneur, an author, and an advocate for all moms. Since 2013, she has brought help and hope to over 500 tired families, helping them transform from sleepless to sleeping homes. Anna, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here to talk about sleep for kids and babies. I love this topic and I'm really excited to dive in. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Yes, I'm so excited to be here. This is one of my favorite topics also.
Well, as a former doula, I used to work with a lot of parents and sleep was always the biggest issue, right, for that postpartum period. I mean, occasionally you'd have a few moms with the babies that just slept like angels right out of the womb. No one hated them, but you know, let's be honest, that's not the reality for most people. Most moms and dads really struggle with babies and older kids as they get older too, with just sleep. In fact, I'll fully admit right from the start, our six-year-old still comes in our room sometimes at night and we're constantly battling like that. So it's just an ongoing thing. What about your kids when they were young? How did sleep go for them?
Oh yeah. Well, that's part of what brought me into this whole field. We brought our first child into our family through adoption. And so I had a lot of time. I had 20 months before we brought him home to be thinking and researching. And I read about everything except for sleep. And I just mistakenly thought, oh, it's just going to happen. Instead, I ended up rocking him for an hour to sleep every night. He was waking up every 1 to 2 hours after a year of having him home. And so we were really tired and needed help. And we also felt like we really needed to use a method that didn't hurt our attachment and the bond that we had been growing for a whole year. And so that's when I discovered Kim West and her gentle sleep coaching methods. And after we totally transformed our family with sleep, with her methods, I realized she had a training program. And so I wanted to go into it, and I did. And in the middle of the program, we had our second child, and he was not sleeping. And I thought, what is wrong? I know everything there is to know. And then that's when in the training program, there was a class from a pediatric sleep doctor, and I realized our son had obstructive sleep apnea. And sure enough, we went through all the referrals and went to specialists, and he did. So that ended up being a big part of our story, just the lack of sleep in our own home and understanding how hard that is for families and really wanting to help to bring sleep to families.
Yeah, I'm curious, what were some of the signs that when you're listening to that training that made you go, "Oh my gosh, I think my son has that." And then what happened next? I mean, I'm curious if anyone else out there might be struggling with this thing that they don't even know is a thing they should look for.
And I would love to speak to that. So the top presenting signs that parents will usually see are restless sleep and mouth breathing at night and during the day. There can be snoring, but honestly, I didn't ever hear snoring. And also sweaty at night, difficulty falling asleep at bedtime, early rising, lots of wake ups during the night. Kind of situation where you're like, we're doing everything right and it's not working. Like our child knows how to self-soothe to sleep and is in their own bed, and we have good sleep routines, and it's still it nothing mattered. So once we I went and begged our pediatrician, please send me to the sleep doctor because I really think there's something going on here. And she was wonderful and yet said, I think it's just toddler sleep. And so I got to the sleep doctor and talked for a few minutes, and she just said, yeah, you need a sleep study right now, as soon as possible. So we went and got a sleep study, and that study showed an average of 9 to 11 times an hour our son was having moments of apnea
Wow.
all through the night.
And define apnea for those unfamiliar with that.
Yeah. And so there is obstructive sleep apnea, which is typically when the tonsils or the adenoids are obstructing the airway. And so the body has to pa it pauses in breathing, and then it has to do something to change the body's position or wake the person up so that they can breathe properly and get the oxygen and airflow that they need.
That's great to know for other folks out there. And I'm curious too, I mean, how hard is it to really advocate for yourself to get that sleep study done? Like, is that something that pediatricians kind of fight you on from what you've seen with your clients?
Right. It really depends on the pediatrician and their level of training. And so I always recommend that parents go in with a sleep log that's at least 2 weeks long. I recommend they go in with a printed list of here is everything we've done and tried. And usually when parents go in prepared like that, they don't come off as like, oh, it's just a parent who's annoyed they're not getting enough sleep. And then the pediatrician can really listen to them. And just if you get that referral to a pediatric sleep doctor, that's their specialty. They know what they're doing and they can help take the next steps and walk parents down the road of what needs to happen next.
All right. Well, so that's apnea. That's one subset of sleep problems, but there's so many other, reasons that parents can be struggling with getting sleep, or kids can be struggling with getting sleep, which then affects the parents' sleep, of course. So I want to dive into some more of these roads that you take parents on. But first, let me backtrack for a second, and I want to clarify something. You are a certified gentle sleep coach. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, so that means I have gone through Kim West, also known as the Sleep Lady, her 80-hour program, and then I was under supervision for a year with her in the beginning back in 2013, and then I do continue in education. But our methods that we use as gentle sleep coaches are they're gentle, and it's not cry it out. It's not leave your child in the room and then walk away and let them figure out how to do this self-soothing thing with sleep. And so I everything I teach is I help parents customize it to their goals and to their needs as a family. So it's not like I'm deciding the sleep goals that that parent has, but I'm helping them with the sleep goals they have and then using gentle methods that are evidence-based and proven and work really well to help their child learn to sleep better.
It's so important. That's the one thing I always found is inducing a lot of fear in parents and the parents that I worked with. As soon as you say the word sleep training, they automatically go to, oh no, I don't want to like hurt my baby. You know, I don't want them to cry. And people don't realize there's just so many, there's so many gray areas in between those. There's in parenting, it seems like we try to make things black or white. You've got like this far side of the pendulum over here that's like cried out and put locks on your baby's door. And then the other side of the pendulum is, you know, sleep with them next to you all the time. Let them, you know, have your boob whenever you want. And we tend to do these very pendulum swing things to parenthood, but really there's so much gray area in between and so many choices that you can make as a parent in between those two options that some people might view as extreme. I'm not going to call them extreme because to some parents, they're not. You know, that's just, you got to find your own path. And there's so many choices out there. And so I love that you can really guide parents into, I assume, finding the choices that work best for them.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll tell parents, I don't specialize in cry it out, but everything else I'll help you do. And I can help you make happen. And, you know, a lot of parents, they don't want to do cry it out. And for me, I really see it as we get the privilege to make a difference with our kids and their sleep. Like we have choices we can make and there's things we can do to help make sleep possible for them. And I think it's a real privilege that we have to even to teach those skills of self-soothing to sleep and of being a part of the process with them and then pull, you know, gently pulling ourselves out as they grow in their confidence and their ability to put themselves to sleep. So to me, it's a huge privilege. And I love helping parents figure out what does that look like for them. And there doesn't need, we have enough judgment as moms. We don't need more added into the area of sleep.
Exactly. No judgment allowed on here. That's for sure. So as a mom, you're a mom of four, I'm curious, have you used essential oils for your children to help them with their sleep and promote good sleep?
Oh, yes, I have. I first started using oils when our oldest was about 3 years old. And then when, you know, I was just kind of using them a little bit. And when he turned four, he watched this episode of Curious George that was about Curious George being afraid of the dark. And all of a sudden, he's just,
I know where
terrified.
That's going.
Yeah, you know where it's going. I'm thinking, oh, Curious George is safe. And all of a sudden, you know, he's waking up four times a night. He's having a hard time going to sleep. And so it was at that point, I'm like, oh, I could try my oils. And so I made a spray with cedarwood in it. And then we put cedarwood and frankincense on his big toes. And all the wakings completely stopped just that night, just like that. So I was all of a sudden a huge believer. And then we use them all the time now. I use them with all four of my kids and they all use different kinds and depends on the night, what ones they want or what helps them.
Yeah, exactly. The big toe thing, I want to pause there for a second because this is something I hear all the time. I hear these incredible testimonials. I've experienced these testimonials myself, on my husband, on myself, on my kids, but I don't know why putting oils on the big toe is just the place to put oils for sleep issues. Do you know why that is?
Yeah. Well, I just know it's related, I think, to the Vitaflex chart and just where, you know, different points on the feet correspond to different points in the rest of the body. And, you know, it may be that it connects to the pineal gland, but I really have to double check that for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes in the oil world, I'm like, well, I don't really know exactly why this works, but it's working. So I'm going to keep
That's
doing
right.
that. But one tip right. in case, you know, the listeners haven't heard this one too, is for snoring husbands, putting Valor on the big toe is the cure for that apparently. So.
That's right. I've heard of that Valor changing snoring overnight also. I have friends who have that testimony.
What other oils have you used with your kids or your clients?
Well, lavender is it's my number one recommendation for parents to use, and it's just so calming for the nerves. Almost, everyone loves the smell, and I love recommending using it in a spray bottle to mist in the room, or you can use it in diffuser, or put it on their feet. It's just wonderful, and it is something that works for most people. I also, as I mentioned, I love frankincense and cedarwood, and some other ones that I recommend are Roman chamomile, and a lot of times for a little older kids, vetiver is really helpful. I've been using a lot for my preteen, and so yeah, those are ones we use. That we really love some of those single oils that just seem to really calm the body. I love cedarwood, stimulates the pineal gland, which produces melatonin. So that's really helpful for us. And in a world where we are exposed to so many screens and blue lights, things like that, that are inhibiting the production of melatonin in our brain, I think it's great to use oils that will stimulate it and support the pineal gland. Because melatonin is that hormone that makes us feel sleepy. So it's really important for sleep and regulating our sleep cycles at night.
Yeah, exactly. And it seems like the older we get and the more screens that we're subjected to and the more that we feel busy and we want to stay up late, then like it seems like as we get older, we just kind of train our bodies to stay awake, don't get sleepy, don't get sleepy. And then, at midnight rolls around and we're like, okay, now get sleepy, please. And it doesn't work, right? When you tell your body not to follow its instincts for so long, like when the sun goes down, your body wants to naturally get sleepy. But as a society, we sort of push past that because we want to get more done or stay up or watch that show on Netflix, which, I'm guilty just like the rest. I do it all the time. But it's interesting that what it's done to our society as a whole. And it seems like babies at least don't have that problem yet. Most babies aren't sitting in front of screens or fighting their natural instincts. So I'm curious, like, what are some of the issues that you see most with, especially I'm so curious about the baby age, the 0 to like 2 years old for parents struggling with sleep. What are the biggest reasons that their babies might be struggling?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, from the ages of 0 to 5 months, I really recommend parents to focus on catching their child's sleep windows. And this is important for all the ages, even for adults. I'll have parents say to me, "Wait, does this apply to me too?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it does. You'll notice that this is applying." And that our sleep window is the time when our body's ready to go to sleep, it's naturally ready. And when we don't go to sleep, the body releases cortisol, which is a stress hormone, and then that gives us extra oomph to keep going. So it creates a child that can be tired but wired. It can create a fussy child. A child can, like a baby, can end up crying for a long period of time just to wear off that cortisol. And so parents will often say, "Well, my child's having a really hard time. My baby or my toddler's having a really hard time going to sleep." And part of the issue is that they're not catching that sleep window for their child. And it's hard. We're parents and we get busy with all different things, but it's really important that we be putting our child down into their bed to sleep when their sleepy signs, their cues, yawning, rubbing their eyes. Even zoning out for a minute or two, when those sleepy signs are showing up, that's when we need to be putting them in their bed so that we can catch their sleep window and we don't miss it. So that's something that, like, from the time they're a little tiny baby on, we can do and work on. And if I could tell any parent one piece of advice, it would be that, to work on catching the sleep windows for naps and bedtime.
I
And then
remember the most like life-changing fact that I learned, and unfortunately I learned it quite late. I didn't learn it till after the birth of my second, and I think she was maybe a year old at that point. And anyway, the fact was that babies, especially newborns, are really only awake for about 45 minutes at a time. And then that's when they start to get sleepy. And no one ever told that to me before, and I was like, well, that's really good to know because, I think as for newborns especially, you look at how often they sleep and you're like, well, they can't possibly be sleepy again. They've, you know, they just woke up. And it's like, no, really, that's how much they sleep and that's what they need. And if you, you know, if you ignore that, then you're just really setting yourself up for trouble.
It's so true. And that's why, like, I created, you know, my free gift to parents, and it's sleep schedules for ages 6 months to 5, 6 years old. And then it's sleep needs from 0 to 5 months old. And it's looking at wake windows, because they're really short when they're first born, and then they gradually lengthen out. But really, you're wanting to just catch that sleep window really often. And so when you don't know that that happens for babies, it can be really confusing. You can be wondering, why is my baby so worked up or so exhausted? So crying so much. And it really is just related to that they need more sleep than we expect.
Exactly. Well, thank you for putting that free resource together. I mean, I just feel like that should be on printed out and on the refrigerator of like every parent with a 0 to 5 year old for sure. So we'll put a link to make that really easy. I know you also have a cheat sheet for everyone to give away that's about the top 7 essential oils for sleep. I want to dive more into that. Will you explain that just a little bit further so people understand the importance of just how, like, it's a gold mine of information that every parent needs, and I don't think they realize how badly they need it sometimes. And then you also have a free PDF for top 7 essential oils for sleep. I'd love for you to get into that as well. And by the way, everyone, will just put links to that in the show notes. So if you have a kid, go get it now. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. So I created the sleep schedules because so often parents are asking me, you know, when should my child be going down for a nap? What about for bedtime? And the truth is, it really changes as they grow. And especially in the first year of life, it changes so much. So for the first 5 months, we're really looking at wake windows and how long those typically are for a child. So my PDF there is just walking parents through, this is what it looks like in the first month, the second month, the third month, and how sleep is changing and developing, and the things that you can do to work with your child's natural sleep cycle at that time. And then when they get to 6 months old, we really can have more of a schedule for our children that where they have typical times that they're awake between naps, and then the amount of time before they go to sleep that they is best for them to go to sleep. So I also included ideas for just daily activities and how to fit in chores and naps and outside time and things like that. Things that were, when I was a first-time mom, I was wondering, like, how do I do this? How do I do a schedule with a baby? What does that even look like? And so I went through just each of those ages and created that schedule based on the evidence and all the studies we have for what's a good sleep schedule for children. And then I put in the activity ideas, and then also just created a wake times cheat sheet that you can just print off and put on your fridge, because as moms, we're really busy and sometimes we just need to, like, look at something really fast and easy and not have to read more to it. So, and then for this sleep oils, I get asked by so many moms all the time, what oils do you suggest? And so I just put together a little tiny PDF of, here's the oils that I love to use and what they do for the body and how you could use them for a baby or a toddler or preschooler or older child. So some of those that are included in there, like I mentioned before, the lavender, the frankincense, the Roman chamomile, cedarwood. And I do mention a couple of blends in there from Young Living, because I found them to be so helpful.
Mm-hmm. Or Love, Peace, and Calming. That seemed to be the one that my kids would gravitate towards the most.
Yes. Peace and Calming and Sleepy Eyes are on the top of our family's favorites. It's funny, our boys tend to like the Peace and Calming and the girls like the Sleepy Eyes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, when it comes to essential oils for children, are there any safety considerations that parents should keep in mind?
Yes, definitely. And I know, as you recommend, Samantha, that I say the same thing of start low and go slow. Mm-hmm. So I always encourage parents, just start with one drop and dilute it in a carrier oil and to diffuse, you know, a lot less drops for especially a baby or a young child than you would for an adult. And just start with 15 minutes in a diffuser at first and see how your child responds. And also, you know, some recommend to wait for babies until they're 3 to 6 months old to diffuse or not. And I encourage parents, do your research and make the best decision you can for your family. So I don't really like to be in the position of telling parents that this is safe and not safe. I don't think there's enough studies to even show us that. So I think you need to do the research and then choose what you think is best, but always, of course, use pure and safe oils, read the labels, don't put it in the eyes or ears. And I really recommend trying it very diluted on the feet just to check for any skin irritation or anything like that. And it probably goes without saying, but remember to keep the oils out of the reach of children when they're little. I did have an episode where my son dumped a whole bottle of peace and calming on the floor one time. He didn't get all over himself, but he did totally put it on the floor.
Yeah. Yep. It happens. I bet that room smelled amazing for a while.
It did. Yeah. For a long time.
Yeah. Safety tip I want to mention. I always like to mention this one when I'm talking about babies, especially as if, like, let's say you want to try to put, not even a whole drop, just like dab your finger in some peace and calming and then gently rub it into the bottom of your baby's feet or maybe on that big toe spot that we were talking about. Like, just a little bit, tiny bit of oil on a little baby is all you need. Always dilute it too. But if you're going to put it on the feet, I love the recommendation to just put some socks over their feet afterwards, just so that you don't run the risk of them, you know, grabbing their cute little toesies, getting the oil on their eye, on their hands, and then rubbing their eyes or something like that. Also, down the spine, the back of a baby is a really safe place to put oils because they can't touch their backs and they won't then rub it into their eyes. So, Anna, this has been wonderful. I mean, we could talk about sleep for ages and ages, but if you could really sum up some of like your most basic sleep tips for parents out there that are really struggling, what do you think those would be?
Yeah, I would encourage parents to make sure they have a safe sleep space that's dark, quiet, and boring, and then to check out the sleep schedules and start incorporating those with a routine and use your essential oils as part of that bedtime routine. You'll find that it really helps your child to calm and to soothe them for sleep. You also want to make sure, like we talked about, that you're catching the sleep windows. And also that if your child doesn't yet know how to soothe to sleep, then I encourage you to use a gentle method to teach them how to do that. Because once they learn how to do that bedtime, then they can do it in the middle of the night. They can do it in the early morning hours. And that's really the key piece when everything else is in place, that we have to teach our child that skill. And just know that you can do it in very gentle ways.
Thank you so much, Anna. Can I pick your brain about my kids for a minute? This will be fun.
Sure.
So I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, and we recently moved into a new home. And since that move, sleep has just changed so much. And because they're dynamically different situations. So our old house was really small. We lived in 700 square feet. Our bedroom was right next to their bedroom. There was just this thin wall dividing us. And they shared a room with each other because it was just a 2-bedroom house. And so the sleep dynamics were just so different. And then we moved into this new house that we love. It's so spacious. It's our dream home. They each have their own bedrooms. Our room is sort of on the other side of the house. It's even up a flight of stairs. So it's just very different. And so, of course, it was just very strange for them. And so not only are they're trying to learn how to sleep in their own bedrooms for the first time, but they're so far away from mom and dad now. And so at first we really struggled with nighttime fear, and we used a lot of oils around that. We used, there's this one oil called Dream Catcher that was really great.
Yeah.
So Dream Catcher is a really great one, I think, especially for just fear around sleep.
Yeah.
And so we've gotten to the point now where they can go to bed fine. They can go to bed in their own rooms. They're not so scared, at least for the put down part. But very often still, we thought we were in the clear because there was like a good couple weeks there where they were not interrupting, not coming in our room so much. But lately, they're just kind of back at it where they'll come in around like 3 in the morning or 2 in the morning, and they're just so scared. And the first couple of times it happens, we get up, we take them back downstairs, we put them back in bed. But then after a while, you're just like, whatever, just get in my bed. I'm too tired to take you down,
Right.
right? And we've gotten back into that cycle. And now it's really just been this past week where I'm like, dang it, like we've got to do something about this again, you know? So what would your advice be?
Okay. Well, I would a couple things. Again, I sometimes I'm like a broken record, but check sleep windows. Make sure they're really you're catching the sleep window. They're not getting to bed too late, because that can always contribute to nighttime wakings. So I always have parents check that again, because it's easy for that to get off.
Yeah. Oh, and I feel
And
like too,
then
we have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, which I feel like we put them to bed at the same time just because it's so convenient and easy. But I really do feel like we've made some like, okay, Layla really should go to bed a little bit earlier, and August can go to bed a little bit later, but we're really kind of forcing them to go to bed at the same time.
yeah. Yeah, and so I would watch that and see, like, an experiment. I always say try it. Try it for a week. See if a different time going to sleep will change that 2 or 3 a.m. waking. And if it does, then you'll know. And the thing about the sleep windows is if your child's sleep window is 7 p.m., for instance, and they're going to sleep at 7:15, it's close, but they probably miss their sleep window. And so it's gonna take them a little while to fall asleep. Or even if it doesn't do that, it can still disrupt the sleep cycles for the night and cause wake-ups.
Sorry, I'm going to interrupt and ask, how do you recognize the sleep window for a 6 and 8-year-old? I mean, I've like know how to see them in a baby, but for my kids now, I don't know. I'm kind of blind to it, I think.
Yeah, for older kids, a lot of times it is just that they're kind of less interested in what's going on. They might slump a little in the couch or the seat they're in. They might get just a little more grumpy. Like if you said it's time to go to bed, they might be a little resistant to that. And that usually is an indicator that they're missing their sleep window. Because when children are catching their sleep window, they're happy. They're usually content and happy. They're okay with going to sleep. It's usually once they missed it that the fussiness or grumpiness starts, or the stalling, or silliness. It can look all different ways. If it's really hard to figure it out, then go having them in a dimly lit room is really helpful to see what starts, do they start showing some of those signs. And if you still can't tell, then I just it recommend experimenting with the time and seeing what time works best for them. And the older they get, the more you can like coach them in how to recognize it themselves.
Oh, I
Depends
love
on the
that advice.
personality
Yeah.
too, but
Yeah, totally.
So I would really go back to that. Make sure you're catching the sleep window. And then also, if you just consider, do you need to do any kind of sleep coaching, maybe in the middle of the night, where you take them back to their bed and then you're sitting there with them, and then you move yourself out of the room. Like one night you sit next to them as they fall back asleep. The next night you sit a few feet away, and so on. You just move yourself out. Like they may need your presence there with them. A lot of times when kids are feeling anxious, I encourage like leaning in closer and providing more comfort and reassurance, which is what we're doing when we're bringing them to bed with us too, right? But if that's not the end goal we want, then I encourage doing that in their room. And then as they get more and more confident, you can move yourself out of the bedroom.
So I have to gear back up for that, middle of the
Yeah.
night trip. But it's
Yes.
so true. I mean, you really save yourself so much. You save yourself better sleep in the long run when you are willing to sacrifice for like a couple days, or maybe it takes a week, or maybe even two, if you have smaller kids, to really sacrifice that and instill those techniques, so that you can get the long haul good sleep that you deserve.
That's right. You're trading it for the long term good sleep. Yeah. And then the other thing I would think is often when kids are waking 2 or 3 a.m., sometimes it can be an indicator that they need liver support. So I always think about that with my kids when they're waking up in those hours. It tends to, it's when the liver's doing a lot of work. And so sometimes it can cause wake ups if their liver needs more support.
Yeah, I'm gonna try that tonight, actually. I think I'll put some lemon oil over their liver and see
Yeah.
if that helps. Like, what are your go-tos for liver support?
Yeah, I use citrus fresh, lemon, orange. We also, any of the Young Living JuvaFlex or what's the other Juva one?
Juva Cleanse.
Yeah, Juva Cleanse.
Yeah, I've got some JuvaFlex
Geranium.
to try.
Geranium's a really great, and that's great for sleep too. Geranium
Geranium,
is.
really. To me, it's such like a high scent. It's so floral that I wouldn't think
Yes.
of that one for sleep, but
Yeah.
I've heard that
It's
before, yeah.
right. It's even in the Seedlings Calm Blend.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Very
Yeah. That
cool.
has lavender, coriander, bergamot, ylang-ylang, and geranium.
Well, Anna, thank you so much for being just so gracious with all your advice. This has been really wonderful. And thank you also again for providing those awesome cheat sheets. Like, I know I keep pushing them to people, but that's only because I just have such a passion for helping parents out there. And,
Yeah.
this is the kind of advice that I really wish I had had when I was a parent and just knew more about sleep cycles and things like that, because it really can, a house that isn't sleeping well is just an unhappy home, right? And
It
there's
is, it is.
so many things that can help with sleep. And so thank you for providing some of those resources, and thanks for working with parents too. I mean, sometimes you really do just need that one-on-one person to be like, just tell me what
Yeah.
to do, please,
Yes, it's so true. And just get me out of the fog because I can't see clearly because I'm
Thank
so
you. Because I'm
tired.
so tired. Yeah, I can't read your cheat sheet. I'm so dang tired,
Yeah.
right? Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Anna. But now, before you go, we always love to ask our guests these two closing questions. And the first is just tell us one or two self-care practices that you personally try to do every day to stay healthy.
Yes, well, mine's gonna not be a surprise, but after I was able to get my kids sleeping through the night, I found I wasn't sleeping any longer. I was struggling to fall asleep or stay asleep. So, using oils every night has made a total difference for me, night and day difference. And my favorite blend is a rollerball by Young Living called Rutavala. It has lavender, valerian, and rue. And so I rub it on 3 to 4 places, and then I get in bed and I sleep great. So,
What are
if
those
any
the three to
parents,
f what are those three places?
oh, I usually use my ankles and my wrists and then my neck, around my neck.
Nice. Love it.
Yeah.
Rutavala. That's great. And Rutavala is a single, right? Or is that a blend?
It's a blend. Yeah, it
Yes.
has the lavender, valerian, and rue in it.
Okay. Right. That's how it gets its name. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a great oil. I've been scanned a couple times for that one, and every time I follow through with it, I really feel such a difference for my sleep.
Yeah, it's so wonderful. And my husband doesn't prefer the smell of it, but I've told him you get a happier wife with it.
Exactly.
So I love
Exactly.
it.
Well, finally, Anna, what's just one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
Okay, I recommend ditching dryer sheets and fragrance-laden detergents on your clothes and bedding and choose instead a safe laundry soap. Or use essential oils with wool dryer balls in the dryer. I just think we spend, 8 to 12 hours a night sleeping on our beds, and our bodies really don't need that nightly exposure to toxins. So switch that out.
Yeah, I find that like laundry products in general tend to be so high in the fragrance, which fragrance is so bad for you. So I know Young Living has some Thieves laundry detergent that is great, and I sometimes use the Seedling wipes for dryer sheets. Have you ever tried that?
No, I never have. What a great idea.
Yeah, that works pretty well too. And then there's also another company that I like called My Green Fills, and I've tried a lot of their laundry products as well, and I really like them. So, I think I have a referral link for them I'll put in the show notes to make it easy for people that want to try them out. But one reason I really like the migraine fills especially is they're into zero waste a lot. So you get your like one jug, and then after you have your one jug, you just get the like replacement packets that you mix with water, so you don't have to keep buying these like big plastic jugs and stuff, which I really appreciate. So those are two really good options, the Young Living detergent, and you can use dry wool balls and use oils on there, and then there's also the migraine fills too. Do you have like a favorite go-to laundry products?
I've been using Young Livings, but I have been really interested in the green fills, so I'll use that link you post
Cool,
and
cool.
try it out myself.
I'll put it in there for sure. Awesome. Thank you so much, Anna. This has been great. For people that want to connect with you further, where should we send them?
Well, they can go to my website, www.thesleepinghome.com. And I also have a Facebook group community that's free, and you can come in and get sleep tips and ask your questions. And that is called the Sleeping Home Mamas.
Awesome. Thank you so much. What a great resource. Again, Anna Steger, thesleepinghome.com. Thank you again for sharing your wisdom with us here on the Essential Oil Revolution.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. It's my privilege.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll catch you again here next week for a brand new episode of the Essential Oil Revolution. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you can get new episodes downloaded while you sleep. And if you haven't yet, please leave us a rating and review so it helps other people find the show. See you back here soon. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.